Pulling up swing, that show.
Hey, welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show, broadcast number 2 on this wonderful Wednesday of October 1st. My name is Dan Washko, and I'm very ecstatic to be here tonight. So, we got a pretty busy show to go through, and without further ado, allow me to introduce my co-host, one of my best friends, really nice guy, former SCO user, so we won't hold any of that against him, though, the Scriptmeister himself, Link Fezzedin.
Hey, hey.
How you doing tonight, Link?
I'm doing really good. How about yourself, Dan?
I'm doing pretty good myself. I've been looking forward to this for the past couple of days.
Cool. And I understand that you're real excited about tonight's show because you have an awful lot to talk about. At least that's what it looks like on the notes. And that whole SCO comment, I actually do have to still use SCO. It's an unfortunate thing, but, you know, that's what pays the bills. Not that I really like them or anything, but, you know.
I thought you had eventually ported everything over.
Oh, man, everything I can is running Slackware or NetBSD.
Well, speaking of Slackware, I'd like to talk about my past adventures with Slackware 9.1 this week, but before that, I'd like to welcome all those BC Lug or Bucks County Linux User Group members who may be listening now or will be listening through the archives. I sent out a post on their website or mailing list today to invite them to check us out and hopefully get some feedback from them.
Yeah, I definitely saw that, and I did notice it looks like possibly a couple of them already preceded this show and downloaded last week's, and just for listening, you know, we'd like to give you guys the clap over here, and thank you very much, and we hope you keep listening, and by all means, you know, join us on IRC and hang out with us on the show and poke some questions at us, and we'll have a good time.
Yeah, speaking of the IRC, we are on right now, and that's IRC. The server is the linuxlink.net, and the show to join is Tech Show. Hopefully you'll be on there soon. Link, before I continue on, speaking of feedback, I believe that you got some feedback this week from a number of people who you informed that we're running our show.
I did indeed. I got, actually we all got feedback, but I made a pest of myself and posted a few emails to the folks over at the Linux Show, whom we highly respect, and of course, the reason that we are on Wednesday night is because they're on Tuesday night, and we must listen every week. But a few of them sent some emails back to me and said that our show sounded pretty good, especially for a startup thing, and I really appreciate that, and I hope you're still listening. We have a lot of fun with this, and now I have a much deeper respect for what you guys do over there. And we also got some emails from the general populace, people from our own lugs and things like that, who, of course, gave us rave reviews and thanked us for having the show. And we encourage you all to keep listening.
All right. Another edition this week on our website. That's the linuxlink.net/TLLTS. That's for the Linux Link Tech Show. Is a reference section where we reference just about everything we're talking about tonight with some links that you'd be able to go to get more information or more succinct information. So, we'll continue on with our first topic, which is Slackware 9.1. As I mentioned last week, the release candidate 2 was, I believe, released on Monday, and then the final was released on Wednesday. So I was excited to get my hands into that. I did a in-place upgrade using just upgrade package utility, and that went along very smoothly. I didn't have a single problem. It dropped down to 2.422 kernel. It's not 2.6 kernel, but it is 2.6 kernel ready. So I suspect that they might have the 2.6 kernel in the 9.2 release as an option, like they did in the 8 series. So I dropped the 2.4.22 kernel in, edited my liloconf, and did a reboot, and I had the new kernel. And of course, that required a kernel recompile right off the bat. Really smooth, no problems whatsoever with that kernel compilation. Last week I had talked about the review that OS News gave, and I was mistaken in that I misinterpreted that they said that the ALSA drivers were not included in Slack 9.1. That's not true. They have the full ALSA, or for the Advanced Linux Sound Architecture packages, included. In fact, I've just switched over to using ALSA the other day.
Now, does this mean that the new or that the open source sound packages are not there with this release, or
no,
not the default, or what?
No, by default, it is the open source packages. If you don't install the ALSA drivers, if you install the ALSA stuff, then the ALSA tries to kick in before the open source. Well, actually, it all depends on how you set it up. I believe by default, the OSS drivers will kick in first, and if you disable those, then the ALSA will kick in. That's a tough question because I did an upgrade, not a complete install or a fresh install, so I already had my stuff configured for using the OSS drivers, which I'd have to double check and talk with someone who did a install from scratch.
Well, now that you mention install from scratch, I happen to go looking at the Slackware website because, of course, I love Slackware, and I was actually contemplating upgrading my main Linux box, which is still running Slack 8.1. However, when I went there, I noticed that I could not find a CD image, an ISO image of Slackware 9.1. The only thing I could find was tarballs, and since I do not know how to upgrade Slackware, I have not upgraded Slackware with just a bunch of tarball packages, I decided to forego it right at the moment. But that might be a project in my immediate future, unless I'm mistaken, and they do have an ISO available somewhere, do they? You know?
That's a good question. I don't know, because I use wget to get all the packages and created my own ISO. I know they're a little slow in creating the ISOs for download sometimes, and it depends on what mirror you go to. Not all of them have the ISO. But speaking of upgrading your system, one of the nice additions to the extra software in Slackware 9.1 is a package called Soiret. I believe that's how it's pronounced. It is a updating utility for Slackware that simple script to input the information, and it will automatically go out there and check the mirrors or the main FTP site for Slackware for your version and install the latest updates automatically.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
It's really, really nice. And I have to mention, on linuxpackages.net, in the forum, somebody had posted that they had a Debian developer write them a Slap Update, or slap get, something like that. It's like a app get for Slackware packages.
Oh, that's cool.
And that supposedly works really well too, but I did not test that out. I'm going to try Soiret first. Some other updates to Slackware 9.1, GNOME 2.4, X-Free 4.03, KDE 3.14, Mozilla 1.4, and something I was a little excited about is the return of Galleon, with Galleon 2 to Slackware. I used to love Galleon browser.
Most definitely. That's one of the reasons I stuck with 8.1 on my main Linux box.
Well, I have to tell you, Link, since 9.0 and the dropping of Galleon, and Galleon 2 was being kind of buggy when I first compiled it, I jumped over to Mozilla's Firebird project. And that has been a phenomenal browser. Lightning fast, quick to load, and everything that you could want out of a basic browser based on Mozilla.
What's the deal with Firebird? Is it just the next rendition of Mozilla, or it's a based upon type product?
It's kind of like Galleon that is based upon Mozilla. It's just the browser part of it.
So, I mean, pretty much everything is based on Mozilla right now. Netscape is based on Mozilla, and Mozilla is based on Mozilla. Firebird's based on Mozilla. A lot of things are based on Mozilla right now.
There's a couple other ones, and now they're eluding me. what their exact names are. But Mozilla has a ton of projects going on. The Gecko engine. There's a wonderful calendar. There's a blog posting utility. It's called MozBlog. I haven't been able to get that working correctly with my blog.
Now, how about the calendar utility? Because I've had several people ask in email posts lately and in person what kind of utilities you can get with Linux, sort of like a Outlook Express type of thing with calendaring software and, you know,
well,
being able
aside
to keep
from
track
using,
of meetings and things like that.
Yeah, aside from using Evolution, or if you're just looking for a basic calendar like iCal, Mozilla is a nice little calendar that you can use. You might be able to share that calendar and post it online. I heard that you can integrate it at least with Apple's calendar, but the extensiveness of that I haven't explored yet. I just basically grabbed it, looked at it, and said, that's sweet, and moved on my merry way.
Cool.
So I haven't looked at it in too much in depth.
Cool. Oh, well, here's a quick update for you guys out there. I did just mention that I could not find a Slackware ISO. Let me look real quick here. Yes, indeed, it appears that we do have Slackware 9 ISOs. 1, 2, 3, 4 ISOs, in fact. Any idea what the deal is with that?
I'm not seeing what you're looking at there.
But I'm looking at the ftp-linux.cc.gatech.edu. In their pub Linux distributions directory.
Is that Slack 9.1 or Slack 9.0?
This is Slack 9.1.
Well, Slack 9.1 comes on two CDs. There might be a source CD with the extras there, and then a Slackware Live ISO. Are you sure that two of those aren't MD5 checksums?
Well, no, there are checksums there for each one of them.
Then it's possible that they have the entire Slackware set there. Live ISO sources and the two install CDs.
Most cool.
That would be nice.
Most cool. Nice. I think I know what I'm doing this weekend then.
But I still encourage you to purchase the Slackware CD set, if only to support the Slackware process.
Absolutely.
It's worth it for, $49 I think it is. You get a lot for your money. More than most distributions give you, unless you want a manual. Well, that has a manual too, but it's on one of the CDs. Anyway, one of the sweetest treats that I look forward to, and I didn't realize that I looked forward to this until last night, with each new version of Slackware, is the new screensavers in the X screensaver package. I'm a big fan of that, of the X screensaver package. Do you use it, Link?
I occasionally do. I think it looks really, really cool, and it's an outstanding selling point, literally, for Windows people. When they come over, a lot of times they'll walk by my computer and say, oh, that's really, really cool looking. Because, you know, when you're running Windows and you want a cool screensaver, a lot of times you have to pay money for these things. And the cool part is you get like 100 of these things with Linux, and they're free, you know.
Yes, it's really sweet. I was really impressed yesterday. Last night I walked into my room, and I had one of those rare treats that I looked on the screen. It was a totally new screensaver I had never seen before. Do you recall the Toasters screensaver that Apple used to have?
I do. That was pretty cool. That was the thing in the day.
Well, this is an updated version of that where you have 3D toasters flying across the screen like bombers from different perspective, and the bombs are pieces of toast.
That's cool.
That's really, really interesting. And it's a little pleasure to look forward to with each new update. For me, overall, Slackware 9.1 has been a sweet distribution, and it still remains as fast as ever. One of the bonuses on the Extras CD is that it includes GIMP 1.3. I'm a big fan of the GIMP, and I know Link's a big fan of the GIMP.
Absolutely. Can't use it for shit, but, you know.
Well, GIMP 1.3, they did a wonderful job with this package. They made it so you can have GIMP 1.3 and 1.2 on the same machine. You need 1.2 for certain applications, particularly Xsane, or the same packages. So it's really nice to have both of those that they won't conflict with one another. Something to take a look at. As I said, the ALSA drivers are included, and I've just converted over to using ALSA, or the Advanced Linux Sound Architecture. I'm playing around with that. And speaking of sound issues, I know Link's been itching to talk about his problems with sound this week. Link, I'll let you take over for a little bit.
Some really interesting and irritating things have happened to me since we started deciding to do this tech show. Basically, what has happened is, I think it's kind of incumbent upon me, if we're going to do a recorded show, for me to be able to actually record audio on my computers. And I'm having the toughest time doing that. I don't understand exactly what... Well, I understand what the problems are in some of my boxes. On some of my Linux boxes, I have really, really odd sound cards. Things that use, like, the AC97 codec. And the problem is that you can get the sound to play wonderfully, and that's not an issue anywhere that I've tried on Linux. Anywhere you can get a sound card working on Linux, it sounds fantastic. However, when I try and record something, for instance, on my main Linux box, when I try and record on that Linux box, I can record on it, but it sounds like you're playing everything, you know, 40 times slower than it's supposed to be, and there's just no way around it, no way to fix it. So that being the case, I decided, well, I will just move my new mic and my new recording gear over to a different Linux box and try that one. And this particular Linux box, I moved it over, had a Creative Labs Sound Blaster AW64, I believe it was. And when I put this on there, again, the sound quality is phenomenal. But when I put the mic on it, I have a really interesting problem. I can hear the microphone pass through the sound card. Like, I'm talking through the microphone, it's coming out the speakers at the same time. It sounds great. It sounds wonderful. It's not a problem at all. However, when I record on it, I get this really annoying static, really low underlying static. Cannot figure out why. I've tried using a preamp, using without a preamp. I've tried different microphones. I tried changing the sound card out, the exact same sound card, trying a different sound card. I tried using a different computer with that sound card, actually, and that didn't work. I tried using different distributions. Tried Slackware 9.0. I tried Nopix. I tried Dynabolic. I tried all kinds of stuff, and it just is a no-go. And then I went and tried it, just like as a last resort, I tried it on my laptop. Now, my laptop is really cool. The laptop, I can get a recording on it, but it sounds like you're talking to a robot. One of these days I'll have to do some recording on it, play it out for you. You really like it. But it's still not a good quality recording, and it's really, really annoying me. The only respite I had in this adventure is that I happened to collect, like, different architectures of computers, and I pulled my mic setup over and plugged it into my SGI Octane. And first of all, SGI is a great company, and Octanes are just awesome, awesome computers. And this thing records, my setup records on the Octane absolutely flawlessly. So for now, probably that's what I'll have to do, but you can rest assured that there will be a continuing saga of trying to get a good recording on Linux. And I'll update you when I find out what the problem is. Probably just a sound card. I'm hoping to get something a little bit different to try anytime now.
Well, after posting to the BC Lug list, I received a reply. I don't know if you're on their list, from Darren, I think his name is, who said that he had similar issues with sound cards that you did, and that he wanted your email address, which I gave to him, so that you'd be able to, maybe he'd be able to help you out.
Oh, fantastic. What's his name again?
I believe it was Darren.
Darren, if you're listening, definitely you give me a buzz sometime. Shoot me an email. We'll see if we can work some of this stuff out, because it's a lot of fun to play with, but it really, really is frustrating when you just can't get anything to work. What else we have going on today?
I hear that. It is frustrating when you can't get something to work. For instance, right now, like I said, I've converted over to the ALSA drivers. I remember last week I was talking about my ongoing saga with recording video off of my camcorder through my TV tuner card, and using the MJPEG tools, the live record has been working really well. But for some reason, and I don't know if it's just with the SoundBlaster Live card, but the ALSA drivers with the SoundBlaster Live interfere with the live record, and I get it won't record, it won't even start up the recording process. It just errors out. And it's something I'm going to have to look into more in depth. One of the things I can do is I could just drop all the ALSA drivers and load in the regular open source sound drivers for my SoundBlaster 16 card, and then I can kick that in without and record sound without a problem.
Maybe that's something I should try and do to see if it'll alleviate my problem, is switch over to the ALSA driver set and see if they have a better cut on recording off of the particular kind of card that I have.
Something to try out. Particularly if you move to Slackware 9.1, it's really easy to do. I should say easy with the stipulation that ALSA itself requires a bit more configuration and patience than the regular open source sound drivers. But I have, like I said, a SoundBlaster Live, SoundBlaster 16. House is working pretty well for me.
This is something we're all going to have to learn how to configure anyway, because the ALSA drivers are going to become standard in the 2.6 kernel. Is that correct? Is that what I'm hearing?
I believe so. That's the main area that they're moving towards, is the ALSA for sound.
Aha! See, pushing us into new technology.
Well, at least you don't have to pay for it.
That's true.
You're not forced. You can always stay at an earlier version of Linux, or you can roll your own Linux, or you can get Gen 2. We have a ton of different
That's
choices.
True. It's not like some other unspoken software companies which tell you, you know, listen, here's the deal. We know you've been running our product and it sucks. But what we're going to do is we're going to upgrade our product, and if you don't upgrade our product and pay us a whole bunch of money, then nothing you have is going to work with anybody else's computer anymore. And it's a very familiar twang in the software industry, and I'm not going to mention exactly who it comes from, but we all know who it is.
Yeah, we do, and I think we'll actually be bringing them up a little further into the show.
Yes. I see that in the notes now.
Yes, do we have some fun stuff to talk about there? Oh, excitement. But speaking of ALSA and sound and open source and being able to use open source utilities and not be forced into upgrading, let's take a little switch from computers in general and software. And Link has been very impressed with open source music, if I'm not mistaken, Link?
Yes, I've been looking a lot at the, just different music that we can play on this show. And you don't have to be really careful these days, because the RIAA will come, you know, sicking their big dogs of hell after you if you happen to let loose of any kind of copyrighted sound that they might think they're going to get paid for. So after tooling around on the net a little while, I came across some links for open source music, and one that I was really, really impressed with is the Open Music Registry, and you can get that at on your browser at www.openmusicregistry.org, or you can follow the links that we have on our show's webpage. And what you're going to find is a really cool website that says it has over 15,000 free music downloads. These are all kinds of downloads, WAV files, OGG files, MP3s, MIDI files, all kinds of stuff. And they have every kind of category and genre that you can think of. And some of the stuff that I've been listening to is really, really cool. Some of it is a little bit raw, or shall we say, not exactly ready for prime time. But if you get into music, you can listen to all kinds of things. And a lot of it is really, really interesting to listen to. People from all over the place have been putting music on this thing, stuff that they make in their own house, things that they're doing with their own personal bands and things like that. And it's just some really cool stuff. And it makes for a really nice evening if you enjoy music, to just browse through their music categories and pick things from here and there and check them out. And by all means, you know, if you like this stuff, there are little links there for you to give little kickbacks to the people who put the music on there and give them some incentive to keep going. It's a really fantastic idea, and it's much, much better than messing around with the RIAA.
Yes, that's a good point. I've listened to some of the stuff, and we played some of the music prior to the show. Always great to be able to have something to stream, other than the Linux Link Tech Show over and over again. For at least for that half an hour before the second show while we're messing around with things.
Right.
Definitely worth a look. The links on our reference section for this week's show on our website. Again, that's the linuxlink.net, TLLTS for the Linux Link Tech Show.
Yeah, make sure you get that slash in there, man.
Yeah, slash. That's true. Get that slash in there. Read our blog. Contribute to the blog. You can post in there. So yeah, we definitely look forward to that. And Link, I got to say something before we continue on with open source music. We have what appears to be three people listening live right now.
Oh my God!
But that one includes your wife again.
Yeah,
which is
hi, hon.
So that's two people listening.
Nice to see you're still there. Well, she has the stream running. I don't know if she's really listening, but yeah, well, anyway.
She's listening to watching that reality show.
Right, those deplorable reality shows. That's yeah. that's a subject for a different day, though, I think.
Right, but for those other two people listening, feel free to jump on the IRC chat line. That's the linuxlink.net, and join the channel, the Linux, or Tech Show, I'm sorry. Join
Pound
the
Tech Show.
Yes, Pound Tech Show. If you would like to communicate with us, we'd love to hear from you. So, anything else about open source music?
No, not at all. Other than absolutely make sure you check it out. There's some other nice links for different open source music sites out there, too. Give them a look, give them a listen, see what you think. And by all means, if you find something that you really dig, that you can enjoy, send us an email and let us know, and we'll make sure that we try and get it on the show as intermission music or as intro music or something like that. We have all kinds of... It appears we're having technical difficulties.
No, we're not having technical difficulties.
Yeah, Dan's laptop is beeping at him.
Out of juice.
Dan's laptop is beeping at him.
Yes, I think I'm running out of juice on the laptop. I should actually be plugging it in.
So in the interim, we'll dance.
And you know what? You know who comes to the rescue? The man who we didn't introduce. Did we even make mention that Alan?
No, we did not.
Is once again in our studio.
Yes, it's Mixmaster Alan Metzler to the rescue once again. He came over and was nice enough to stop by today, and he's in amongst the process of fixing Dan's laptop.
Fix me up with some juice.
That's right. Fix him up with some juice.
Some gin and juice. Speaking of kind of humorous songs, there is a neat rapper that's on some of that open source music. Link doesn't like rap, but I enjoy a comical rap myself. And it's just, he was a pretty funny guy. I can't repeat some of the names of the songs because they're a little vulgar, but they are really funny. And I forget what that rapper's name is. And what I'll do is I'll try to look it up right now as we enter into the next phase of the show. I guess we can close out open source music. And we can continue on to our next topic. Are we ready, Link?
We are ready.
Ready for open source?
Absolutely. Or actually, at this point in time, why don't we play some of that open source music for you real quick and give us a break to catch up to what we're doing here. and we'll jump right back in after we get a song in. How's that sound, Dan?
That sounds good to me. I think I'm going to play Blues Motel, Sweet Home Chicago. How's that work for you, Lane?
Blues Motel, yeah, bring them on. They're good.
We're going to play that once through, and enjoy. We'll be right back in just a minute. Have a good one.
Right back on the Tech Show.
Motel, Sweet Home Chicago.
Woo-hoo.
How about that, Lincoln?
Woo-hoo. Now, are we going to give them the clap, too? We'll give them the clap. Here they go. All right.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a different kind of clap.
Yeah, a different kind of clap.
I'm still having no luck finding that site that we were on last week, unfortunately.
Well, that's all right. If we come across it, what we'll do is post it on the blog, and everybody can catch up with them that way. But
if I can... secure shell into my PowerBook, if it's up and running downstairs, then we'll be golden, and I can find out what the name of those, at least the tracks were.
Speaking of secure shell, did I just read in one of my emails today that they had another vulnerability that they released a fix for? Yes, no, maybe? Yes? Yes? Alan's shaking his head. You can't hear it, but he really is. Well, that really stinks, man. So now I'm going to have to update OpenSSH. So all you script kiddies and hackers out there, do not go trying to bust into my home box and get in under the new SSH vulnerability. Just, give me a few minutes, and I will make sure that I have it fixed. Dan Server, you know, go right down the line.
Well, whatever. I guess I'll have to look into that. Get that smart head running tonight.
Right, right.
Okay, so the next topic is open source and our fathers.
Yes.
And I'll let Link start, because he's had far more success down this route than I have.
Well, I haven't had a whole lot of success down this route. My dad really gets into his computers, and he's, you know, he's your typical Windows user. I guess not your typical Windows user, because he's come a little ways with it. But he set up a computer for himself, and he set one up for my mother at home, which is really cool. And every time he comes over to visit, he keeps checking out, you know, what I'm doing on my computers, and I've given him, you know, the grand tours of Linux and things like that. And from what I hear, he's got a buddy of his that I think a buddy of his that he works with that runs Linux, and then in particular, I think he runs SUSE. And one of the best pieces of advice that I always give people is to make sure that if you're going to install Linux, you probably need to have some sort of a support base. So find a friend of yours or someone you know that installs Linux or that uses Linux, and try and install the version that they have installed, because there are subtle differences in the versions. And it's really nice to have somebody local that you can talk to, and they can give you accurate and concise answers on exactly what you're talking about. Not that you can't, you know, grab a hold of anybody who runs Linux and they can help you out, but it's a lot nicer if they know the particular, like some of the Linux distributions have GUI install packages and GUI administration packages, and those just don't necessarily carry over from distribution to distribution. But at any rate, my dad knows this guy, and he's going to supposedly install SUSE Linux and give that a whirl on his PC. And this is really great. I'm proud of him. Go, Dad. Also, he's coming out of the dark ages with his internet connection. He used to be running on a dial-up internet connection for a long, long, long time. And he just recently got a hold of broadband and wireless at the same time. So that not only does he surf the net with relative speed, but my mom can also jump on the net at the same time. Even though I don't think they're listening to this, but they should be. That's really cool, and definitely want to say hello to them and tell them to keep up the good work and get rid of that Windows stuff that they're running. But I have heard that there have been a lot worse problems trying to get your friends and relatives converted to something that works, and I understand this really is a problem. For those of you who are in the IT industry, the reason this is such a problem is because when someone you know has a computer problem, they instinctively seek you out like a dog. And I can give you the number of requests I have from, you know, friends and relatives and just general acquaintances that know that I'm a computer person, and boy, they really jump right on you. Can you fix my computer for me? Can you fix my computer for me? And it always seems to be a Windows problem. And it starts to get annoying after a little while. And I understand, Dan, that you had some similar issues like that.
Oh, yeah. The joy. The joy, joy, joy. Well, what's interesting is my dad's been into computers for a very, very, very long time. He worked at AT&T, and he was instrumental in getting a lot of their discarded computers into the school district that we live in. We're talking old 286s and some old computers to that extent. And they had actually provided them with the first computer lab. He was also really big into DOS back in the Windows 3.12 days, and he begrudgingly upgraded to Windows 95. And ever since then, he's been having an ongoing series of problems with the Microsoft operating systems. And for some reason, I can't get him to look back and honestly remember that it's been a constant string of problems. Programs crashing, blue screens, machine rebooting, being extremely slow. And for the past couple of years, I've been trying to encourage him to use Linux. And again, we're talking about someone who really liked the DOS, good old days of DOS.
Well, you should feel right at home then, right?
He should. In fact, he was asking me if he could run BAT files in Windows 2000 Professional. I recommended against doing that, of course. But you can. Now, I know for a fact he's not listening, and I don't know if I'll be able to get him to listen to the shows anytime soon, so this might fall on dead ears with him. But let me just explain my saga with him the past week. And I set him up with a new machine so he can run Windows 2000, because Windows 98 just finally fell apart to the point he can't use it anymore. So I said, Windows 2000, that's a little more secure, a little more stable. I shouldn't say secure. I should say more stable. Supposedly, quote, more stable. Well, Friday he called me up. This is the second day he called me up asking about setting up. He can't connect to the modem, which is running on a Frisco box, which we'll get to in a minute. But he couldn't connect to it because we don't have DHCP running over there, and he wasn't sure where to put in the network address, the IP address. So this is the second day that he called me up because he had to reinstall Windows 2000 earlier that day, because after installing his virus scanning software, it blew up. Which means that this is the third time that he's installed Windows 2000 in the past week.
After installing his virus scanning software, it blew up.
It blew up. Well, when I got over there on Monday night, I brought over the latest version of Frisco, which I believe is 3.02. Now, Frisco is sweet. If you don't know what that is, again, reference section on our website, frisco.org. It is a implementation of a router in a Linux box. Really only needs a 386 for basic routing, dial-up router. But I've had him running an old version of Frisco for the past 2 years now. Rock solid, no problems, on a 486. When you turn it on, it sounds like the thing's going to blast off into space. The fan is so decrepit. It's horrible, but the thing's been running like a top. The only problem that he has, and this is the only quirk I can see with Frisco, is you have two options. You could either have the dial-up connection up all the time, or have it up for an amount of time, you know, a specified limit, or you can set it so that you control it, but it seems to time out after about 2 minutes when you control it. So we set it up for it to have it running all the time, connected to the net, and you can get in there and you can, through the web interface, and you can block or unblock the connection. So if he has a power blip and it goes down, it automatically boots right back up and connects to the internet. That's about the only glitch that happens on that machine, or has happened. Well, needless to say, I went over there with the Frisco stuff and the latest version of Nopix 3.3. Beautiful, beautiful distribution. Wonderful. Yeah. Hats off to Nopix. It's beautiful. That's something that we should be doing. Like, not to digress from the conversation here or switch roads, but we really should start getting a bunch of Nopix CDs and just handing them out to people on the street, out in the shopping center, wherever. Because this is a beautiful operating system. It's a wonderful introduction to Linux.
I know. You keep telling me that, again, Dan works in the school district, and he keeps telling me that every time he goes in, he brings a stack of Nopix CDs with him, and everybody's real, real impressed with it. I don't have quite as much opportunity to, like, hand it out to different people, but I have given it out to several IT professionals that I know who are really impressed with it right off the bat.
Yes, we'll have to look into that as a LUG project.
Definitely.
But anyway, I went over there with the Frisco. Now, I didn't bother to read the manual on Frisco, so I had a little bit of a difficulty setting up the DHCP server for some reason. The configuration of this is not like a standard Linux system because it runs completely off the floppy. So this is a little different. So needless to say, it took me about an hour to futz around with getting everything to the way we wanted it with the old version because that router box is running headless. So I'm dependent upon using a workstation to telnet into it. Now, we didn't have the telnet part running on the old version, but on a new one I had it set up by default before I went over there. So sure as hell wasn't going to try and telnet into this thing with Windows 2000, hence the use of the NOPIC CD, because I was able to bring my connection up and down, change the IP address, test the DHCP. I had cut my teeth on Slackware Live ISO for the longest time, and one of the bugger problems that I had with the NOPIX was I was trying to find the DHCPD.
Trying to find DHCPCD.
Yeah, so I could initiate a DHCP connection. So I ended up rebooting a couple of times foolishly until I found netcard config, and then later I learned from Link it's pump. So you learn something new every day.
That's right. See, now not even Dan knows everything.
Yeah.
So he has to call me for tech support.
Needless to say, well, I called you right after I was done there,
yeah,
too.
Right, yeah, a little bit late.
Because we haven't gotten to the best part yet. So needless to say, it took me about 2.5 hours to get everything the way I wanted to. Because I didn't read the manuals, and I didn't want to bother going out to read the manuals. Anyway, the FreeSCO and NOPIX performed admirably. I didn't really have to reboot at all. It was just due to my ignorance that I rebooted.
Now, this FreeSCO, are you running DHCP on the FreeSCO box?
We are now.
DHCP server, huh?
Yep, DHCP. It has a...
off a floppy.
Off the floppy.
Now, that is a neat thing, man.
It is. It has a web server on there. It has DNS.
Off a floppy. When's the last time you've seen something from Microsoft be able to do that stuff?
Now, it'll run off of 386, but the more services you implement, we're going to require a little more power behind it. So, but at 486, it's doing NAT, DNS caching, and DHCP right now. And it has a nice little admin utility, web-based admin utility, which is nice to get into.
Cool.
But anyway, we got this thing set up. So my dad had said he tried loading in the scanner drivers for his computer. It's a Mustek parallel port scanner. But he said it wasn't recognizing the scanner. He's getting this funky error message when it boots. So boot it up. I get that error message because he doesn't have the scanner disk in. The scanner is not found, of course. I have to reinstall the drivers, which requires a reboot. Of course. Drivers that were already installed, I reinstall them, require the reboot.
Yeah, but wait a minute, man. Isn't this one of the chief complaints about Linux? Is that people complain that, you know, my hardware isn't going to be supported.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to find drivers for my equipment. And your dad is trying to get a scanner installed on what?
Windows 2000 Pro. Well, we did get it to work. After the reboot and install, then I had to install the software, and after it crashed, and that was a forced reboot, came back up, was able to recognize the scanner. So now we had DHCP go, and I could set about connecting to the internet. And of course, when you start up Internet Explorer, you have to go through that setting it up to work online with your LAN.
Mm-hmm.
And I got through all that, and it comes up with a message, no connection could be found. Do you want to work offline? So I said no, and it found the connection. Yeah, beautiful. So we were able to connect. Now, remember, since I had shut down NOPIX and booted into Windows, the internet connection has been up this whole time from the FreeSCO. NOPIX had no problem connecting to the internet. It's just Windows. So I copied over... I was nice enough to grab the Service Pack 4, the Internet Explorer 6.1 update, Service Pack 1 update,
right,
and the latest patch for the virus that's going around, the worm that's going around so big.
Right.
So he didn't have to do that, because you're talking a couple hundred megs worth of information on a dial-up connection would take him into next week. It was funny, because he told me that he was running Windows Update, and the machine just froze up. Didn't know what to do, so he left and came back a couple hours later, and it was okay again. So we got the patches copied over, and the Machine Explorer crashed again. So, of course, bring it back up, and I start up installing Service Pack 4 for Windows 2000, and I'm explaining to my dad what he needs to do after this, because I'm not going to sit there for the entire process of how long it takes to install this. I've seen it installing on a 2 gigahertz machine, and it takes a good 15-20 minutes, and we're talking a P3-450 here.
Running what, XP?
Well, yeah, the gigahertz were running XP.
See, now there's a problem right there, because XP is the only operating system I have ever seen that can make a 2 gigahertz PC run like a 486.
Well, Windows 2000 isn't that much better. Because in the process of me explaining what he needs to do, I clicked on the start menu to show him where to run Windows Update from, and the machine crashed again. So we had to bring it down, bring it back up, do the scan disk. Because he's running a FAT32 file system. Why on an NT machine, I don't know. And I don't think that's the reason why it's crashing. So we finally got it back up. And for some reason, I decided to test the internet again, and it told me I had to reconfigure my connection. And then it told me I couldn't find a connection, had to work offline. I said no, and it found the connection then. So I closed that down, started Service Pack 4. And it was going through, and I just got the hell out of there. That was enough of that.
Get him far enough and then beat feet as fast as possible.
You're telling me. And I told him, he was nice enough to take me out to dinner that night.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, you know, when you're done playing with the small toys, we'll hook you up with the big boys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I keep trying to do the same thing with my father-in-law. I just recently installed, had to get him Windows 2000, installed Windows 2000 on his machine because he was absolutely infested with with viruses and hackers and stuff like that. And it was just incredible. And the worst thing about it was, like, he's on an AOL dial-up account. Like, it's pretty difficult, you know what I mean, to get hacked a million times when you're on a dial-up account, because you're always on a dynamic IP. It changes every time you get online. Somehow he had like 50 or 60 services running, all hacked stuff, sending out, you know, emails to places and shared directories on his computer and stuff. But anyway, long story short, I installed Windows 2000 on his computer, which was a real trip in and of itself. And the one thing that really, really caught me by surprise, other than the really long install on that product, is that it does not support Sound Blaster 16 plug-and-play audio card. This is like the industry standard audio card. Absolutely no support for it whatsoever. I happened to find a driver for it off of some guy's site in Germany or something like that, and you know, my German is not really very good, so it wasn't the easiest thing in the world. But be very careful when you're doing these Windows installs, that they sneak up on you pretty hard.
Yeah, you're telling me. Holy crap. We gotta update all our Windows XP boxes again at work. It's a nightmare. It is a nightmare. But we should move on from the Windows Microsoft topics and look to a little beyond Linux. Link, if you would like, you had mentioned that you might want to talk about some other operating systems like NetFree or OpenBSD or...
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And the reason that I wanted to do this is, even though we are... over here, we're running off the LinuxLink.net, which Dan hosts, and he's a mighty fine guy for doing so. This is the tech show, and I just wanted to reiterate to everybody that this is not a Linux show. It's not a copy of the Linux show. If you want to hear the Linux show, by all means, go listen to the Linux show at thelinuxshow.com, because they do it much better than we probably would. That being said, and this being the tech show, I wanted to just... tell everybody, remind everybody that we're not only fixated on Linux over here, even though Dan and I run that a lot because it really works well. We also do a lot of other things, a lot of other operating systems, free operating systems, open source operating systems, and Unix in particular. Dan mentioned earlier that I run SCO Unix at work, and I do, and it works pretty well for its purpose. However, I see it coming to a really nasty, fatal, bloody crashing end soon with their current lawsuit policy. The other things that we do, that Dan and I do, is Dan runs OS X, Mac OS X, which he really likes. I have not had the chance to play with it yet, but I know a lot of people who have, and they're really, really sunk on this thing. They're hooked on it good. I, myself, do a lot of other Unixes. Like I said, I run the SCO, and I run a few different versions of Linux. And I also run NetBSD. And NetBSD is a derivative of regular BSD Unix, which is Berkeley Software Division. And the reason that I run NetBSD as opposed to any of the other ones, which most notably are OpenBSD and FreeBSD, is that I have a really eclectic hardware collection. And NetBSD is one of those really cool Unixes that has been ported to everything on the planet. Like, you can run this stuff on everything, including your toilet and your toaster. So it works really nice with it. I have VAC stations at home and DEC stations, and it runs on i386 really good. Runs on Macintoshes, you name it. You name the platform, it'll run on it. And it's really nice to be able to keep everything, keep your operating system at a level keel no matter what no matter what platform you're running on. So that's one of the ones I stuck with. Now, I have compared and contrasted that to FreeBSD and OpenBSD, and both of those also have their good points. However, and unless you go look at those for yourself, you want to look at OpenBSD.org, FreeBSD.org, and NetBSD.org. I'll tell you the reason that I stuck with NetBSD, other than the fact that it's really, really portable. FreeBSD is a great operating system in and of itself if you plan on running primarily on i386 architecture or Intel architecture. The one problem that I have with it, and this is probably the only problem, the one problem I have with it is that the last few releases that I tried of FreeBSD don't come with like immediate sound support. And so they want you to, you know, right after you get the thing running on your computer, you got to go through and figure out how to get your sound working. And that's just not something that I have to do with NetBSD. NetBSD takes right off. Your sound card is going. Everything's cool. Everything's running. It's really nice. And OpenBSD, the reason that I haven't spent a lot of time using that is I really absolutely hate and detest the installer. That's the worst installer I've ever seen for anything in my entire life outside of maybe Irix for SGI, which is definitely the longest Unix install I've ever done. But that being said, these are really, really good open source Unix projects. If you get into Linux, you will like one of these. One of them will meet your fancy without a doubt. By all means, go ahead, hit the websites, get yourself some better information, download a copy, and try it. If you have an old box laying around, they make fantastic servers, BSD does. It's got a little bit better TCP/IP stack than Linux does. And if you're ever setting up like an FTP server or something like that, this is definitely the way to go. For some reason, the BSD FTP servers rock. That being said, Dan, what are your opinions on OS X?
Well, first I have a question for you, Link.
Sure.
Will NetBSD run on the new bus Mac?
NetBSD, I don't believe it'll run on the new bus Mac.
Will anything run on the new bus Mac?
Yes, in fact, there are things that will run on the new bus Mac. Debian will run on the new bus Mac, or Debian, depending on how you pronounce it. But that will run on a new bus Mac. Yellow Dog supposedly has, an older version that runs on a new bus Mac. Maybe SUSE. So, and then, of course, Mac OS will run on a new bus Mac. But
I'll have to look into it. Speaking of OS, Mac OS, OS X, it's been really nice. It bridges that gap between Linux and what's available for a lot of the Microsoft world. Because of being Apple and being one of the more popular desktop operating systems, companies are more apt to port software, more the popular software, like Adobe's series of applications, Macromedia's series of applications, over onto the Mac. I had the opportunity to test out Mac's implementation of the X server, the beta 3 version of on OS 10. And I have to say, it was really sweet. It was nice to run an X server on top of Aqua, and it integrated seamlessly, worked beautifully. One of the problems I had before, when I'm at work, I have a dual monitor display where I don't mirror, I have two separate desktops. But when I run the GIMP over on the second monitor, the mouse pointer disappears. But with the OS X server, that's not a problem. It's beautiful, really good. Something I look forward to when they come out with the final version. I only hope that they make it free. But if I'm not mistaken, I think the final version's being integrated into Panther. So that'll be nice.
Cool. And this is just a regular X server, right?
Yeah,
same thing I'm used to on Linux.
Pretty much.
Can do all the standard goody things with that and all that.
Yep.
Bit.
Supposedly. Supposedly. I just started playing with it today and it worked great. I had some issues with XMMS running. I had to run in the ESD, Enlightenment Sound Daemon, for it to connect to run properly. And I had some issues after the Sound Daemon was running for a couple hours. Then it started to get a little flaky and I had to restart it. But other than that, it ran really great.
That's really cool. And I understand. I looked around I think it was Fresh Meat or maybe it was SourceForge I was looking around on the other day. And there are a couple of projects going to port Darwin, which I guess is Mac's
kernel.
Mac's version of the kernel. They're trying to port Darwin over so that you can use it on Intel architecture.
Yeah, they already have that project going, but don't expect to see Aqua on top of that.
Well, you can see probably a lot of things that will come very close to Aqua at any rate.
Yeah, but you know, hey, I think X is running pretty well right now.
My whole question with the whole Mac OS X thing is, I have, like I said, in all fairness, I really have not spent a whole lot of time playing with it. I've looked at it briefly a few times, and I want to know why not just run Linux on your Mac. Or why, or NetBSD. NetBSD supposedly runs really, really well. I haven't tried it yet, but...
One word. Broadcom.
Broadcom.
Broadcom. Airport Extreme.
Oh, yes.
Broadcom chipset.
Oh, yes.
Plus, like I said, I use Macromedia Studio at work and Adobe Illustrator. Those won't run on Linux, unfortunately.
Right, but we have some good, we have some pretty good open source replacement kind of software for that, like the GIMP, right?
Well, the GIMP is not a vector-based utility. A GIMP is a raster-based, and sometimes I need to use vector-based software. The Macromedia Development Studio is really sweet, and I hope one day that they port it over to Linux.
Well, they do have... In the new version of OpenOffice, it was either OpenOffice or StarOffice, that was the new StarOffice that was out. I saw that they have the ability to export documents to Macromedia Flash or some such thing.
That'd be something
to check
out. Which
I thought was really interesting, but...
Something to check out.
It's at the very least, that's pretty cool sounding, and... StarOffice, even though it's not a true open source product and it does require you to pay for it, you really get a good bang for the buck going on with that thing, you know?
A little out of my price range right now.
Yeah.
I'm running on nothing.
Yeah, pretty much. I got a nickel and rubbing it against my leg hoping it'll grow, but nothing, you know?
I'm running on OpenOffice funds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
You know, we're getting close to really going over time here.
Yes, we are. We are, and we should probably wrap this issue up and continue on with the rest of the things that we wanted to talk about next week. At least, if we do that, then at least you guys will be able to hit the website and have a have a more than a one day's worth of notice as to what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So we'll save the wired equivalent privacy, or WEP, information that I wanted to readdress.
Yes.
From last week for mm-hmm. next week. And we'll talk about Linux in the Valley next week.
Absolutely.
Some stuff that's going on there. Again, I want to thank any of the members of the Bucks County Linux Users Group who may have been listening tonight, who will listen. Check them out. Check them out if you're in the Doylestown area. They meet at site length. Their web address is bclug.org. And I guess we should plug the SIG, the Special Interest Group, Lehigh Valley Computer Users Group, Special Interest Group, Linux SIG.
Just Lehigh Valley
Garber.
Computer Group.
Lehigh Valley Computer Group.
LVCG.org is where you find these guys.
And you can find the link to the Linux SIG off of the LinuxLink.net website, which will take you there. Jeff Zartler, if you really want to learn how to use Linux from the basics. And, of course, there's always the Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group.
Yay!
We have one more broadcast of the Linux Link Tech Show before the October meeting of the Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group, which will be the second Tuesday of the month. I'm not sure exactly what the date is on that. But if you're in the Lehigh Valley area, please come out and visit us.
All right, second Tuesday of the month is the 14th.
All right, the 14th it is then. And we'll be at the Software Consulting Services, which is a very predominantly Linux-based newspaper company. We'll talk about them next week and adventures with their founder, Richard Ciacelli, who's a really neat guy. So I'll let Link say his goodbyes, and then I'll sign us off.
Absolutely. Once again, thank you for joining us at the Linux Link Tech Show, and we hope to see you next week, same bad time, same bad channel. And please, send us any of your, feel free to send us by email any of your comments, suggestions for programs, and if you happen to be a local band or even one that's not so local that's listening to us and want to get some of your music on the air, by all means, send it off to us in an AUG or WAV or whatever format you can muster, and we'll definitely try and give the world an ear to it. In the interim, as Dan had mentioned, if you happen to be having some questions on Linux or any kind of open source questions or need help in that kind of capacity, please contact the Linux user group that we run, which is the Lehigh Valley Linux User Group. You can find us on the web at http://thelinuxlink.net/LVLinux. That's LVLINUX. You can also get the Linux Newbie guys, their group over there from the LVCG. That's the LVCG's Linux SIG, and you can grab their address off the LVCG's website, which is lvcg.org. And give them a shout, tell them hi, and ask your questions, what have you. And until next time, we're going to catch you later.
Yeah, if you had a problem or trouble remembering all those URLs, you just go to linuxlink.net. There's a link to all those places right off of that page. I want to thank everyone for listening, especially Link's wife. Stayed on for the whole time. And it's great that we didn't have any problems this week, if you notice that. That's we didn't crash.
Yes, indeed. This is a first. Well, it's actually a second, but we did have a little bit of technical difficulties last week. This week seemed to run really, really well.
And hopefully next week we'll have even more music and sound effects for you. So we're going to close, leave you out with the Linux Link Tech Show theme song, ruined by me, because I like that one, because Link likes it so much, too.
Absolutely. So, sound effects generated by Dan.
Yeah, personally by Dan. So we'll see you next week. Have a good week. Enjoy the show. And take it easy.
Linux Link Tech Show. Thank you. Pulling a clean tech show.